people, and no one saw a thing. Magic had been suggested and hotly denied by the wizards. Some historians had said that it happened because troops around the palace had been sent out to attack the barricades, but that didn't answer the question. Anyone who could stab a man to death in a brightly lit room full of people surely wouldn't find some guards in the darkness any kind of obstacle. Of course, with Snapcase as new patrician, no one had tried very hard to establish the facts in any case. People said things like, "Quite possibly we shall never know the truth," which meant, in Vimes's personal lexicon, "I know, or I think I know what the truth is, and hope like hell it doesn't come out because things are all smoothed over now." Supposing we don't lose. Keel hadn't killed Big Mary. She hadn't been used in the other present. The soldiers hadn't been stupid enough to try it. That sort of thing was okay to deal with little local affairs manned by civilians, but it was a joke if you put it up against stout defences manned by professionals. Now she was a wreck. The attackers would have to think of a new plan in a hurry, and time was moving on. Supposing we don't lose. All they had to do was hold out. The people at the top had very short memories. Winder is mysteriously dead, long live Lord Snapcase. And suddenly, all the rebels become glorious freedom fighters, and there's 7 unfilled graves in the cemetery. Would he be able to go back then? Supposing Madam was right and he got offered the post of commander, not as a bribe, but because he'd earned it. That'd change history. He took out the cigar case and stared hard at the inscription. Let's see, he thought. If I never met Sybil, we wouldn't get married, and she wouldn't buy me this, and so I couldn't be looking at it. He stared hard at the curly engraving, almost willing it to disappear. It didn't. On the other hand, that old monk had said that whatever happens, stays happened. And now Vimes had a mental picture of Sybil and Carrot and Detritus and all the rest of them frozen in a moment that had never have a next moment. He wanted to go home. He wanted it so much that he trembled at the thought. But if the price of that was selling good men to the night, if the price was filling those graves, if the price was not fighting with every trick he knew, then that was too high. It wasn't a decision he was making, he knew that. It was happening far below the areas of the brain that made decisions. It was something built in. There was no universe anywhere where a Sam Vimes would give in on this, because if he did, then he wouldn't be Sam Vimes anymore. The writing stayed on the silver, but it was blurred now because of the tears welling up. They were tears of anger, mostly at himself. There was not a thing that he could do. He hadn't bought a ticket, and he hadn't wanted to come, but now he was on the ride and couldn't get off till the end. What else had the old monk said? History finds a way. Well, it was going to have to come up with something good, because it was up against Sam Vimes now. He glanced up and saw young Sam watching him. You okay, Sarge? Fine, fine. Only you've been sitting there for 20 minutes, looking at your cigars. Vimes coughed and tucked the case away and pulled himself together. Half the pleasure's in the anticipation, he said. The night wore on. News came through from barricades at bridges and gates. There were forays, more to test the defenders' strength of will than to make a serious dent in the defences. And there were more deserters. One reason for the desertion rate was that those people of a practical turn of mind were working out the subtle economics. The Republic of Treacle Mine Road lacked all the big, important buildings in the city, the ones that traditional rebels were supposed to take. It had no government offices, no banks, and very few temples. It was almost completely bereft of important civic architecture. All it had was the unimportant stuff. It had the entire slaughterhouse district, and the butter market, and the cheese market. It had the tobacco factors, and the candle makers, and most of the fruit and vegetable warehouses, and the grain and flour stores. This meant that while the Republicans were being starved of important things like government, banking services and salvation, they were self-sufficient in terms of humdrum everyday things like food and drink. People are content to wait a long time for salvation, but prefer dinner to turn up inside an hour. "A present from the lads down at the shambles, Sarge," said Dickens, arriving with a wagon. "They said it'd only spoil otherwise. Is it okay to dish 'em out to the field kitchens?" "What have you got?" said Vimes. "Steaks, mostly," said the old sergeant, grinning. "But I liberated a sack of onions in the name of the revolution." He saw Vimes's expression change. "No, Sarge, the man gave them to me, see? They needed eating," he said.
"What did I tell you? Every meal will be a feast in the People's Republic," said Reg Shoe, striding up. He still hung on to his clipboard. People like Reg tend to. "If you could just take it along to the official warehouse, Sergeant,"